Welcome to Give 'em the Boot. Benvenuti a Give 'em the Boot, un'ora di musica italiana e altro qui a CITR 101.9 FM a Vancouver. Io sono Linda Bull e sono con voi ogni martedì dalle 2 alle 3 per questo programma di musica che a me piace personalmente e che magari piace anche a voi, spero proprio di sì. Oggi ho il piacere di potervi far sentire un'intervista che ho fatto ieri con un regista, giovane regista di nome Nicola Moruzzi, e lui ha in programma un documentario che sta proprio finendo di preparare, infatti faranno le riprese a settembre qui in British Columbia. Si chiama Revelstoke, Kiss in the Wind. È un progetto molto interessante che racconta la storia di suo bisnonno che è venuto in Canada negli anni, diciamo all'inizio del secolo scorso, quindi 1913 credo, e che poi è morto purtroppo solo poco più di 2 anni dopo, facendo costruire un tunnel per la ferrovia. E lui ha deciso di fare questa cosa meravigliosa, secondo me, utilizzando le vecchie lettere che sono vecchie 100 anni, che lui ha trovato insieme alla zia, che nessuno aveva visto. Erano lettere d'amore scritte da lui dal Canada, nei campi, nei posti dove lui viveva quando era venuto qui. Aveva proprio, cioè era giovanissimo, aveva non so 25-26 anni. Aveva lasciato a casa la moglie giovanissima, incinta da 7 mesi, e scriveva cioè più possibile a lei e raccontava tutto quello che succedeva. E lui ha deciso, Nicola ha deciso di rifare questi passi di suo bisnonno e andare a trovare tutti i posti dove lui ha vissuto, che sono qui a Vancouver, sono anche a Kamloops e a Revelstoke. E lui sta anche cercando finanziare il progetto con Indiegogo, e io poi metterò un link sulla mia pagina che spiega benissimo tutto quello che lui sta cercando di fare, con un bellissimo video trailer proprio carino insieme alla ragazza Irene. E infatti è praticamente anche la loro storia, la storia di questa coppia giovane che rifà i passi del bisnonno e la moglie. Allora, io adesso voglio farvi sentire questa intervista che ho fatto con Nicola ieri, e poi fra una quindicina di minuti avremo un altro po' di musica. Ok, state con me.
So I'm here today chatting with Nicola Moruzzi.
Yes, Moruzzi.
Who is just a really interesting character who I happened to come across by accident through the post of other Italians here in Vancouver who are basically advertising their experience living in Vancouver, Diario da Vancouver.
Oh, yes.
And I saw this post about something called Revelstoke. Nicola, tell me about Revelstoke.
Okay, well, first of all, thank you for having me here. And, well, Revelstoke is, of course, everybody in British Columbia know what Revelstoke is. But for my family, it's always been a very mysterious name, because that's where my great-grandfather was buried, and we didn't know anything about our great-grandfather, except the fact that he left in 1913, leaving his wife, 7 months pregnant, at home because she couldn't make the journey. And he went to look for fortune across the ocean. And he ended up first in Vancouver, and then he moved all over BC. And after 30 months of many, many different jobs, many conquests, many, many things that happened, he ended up working in Revelstoke, and very sadly dying in the construction of the railway tunnel, the Connaught Tunnel, which was being built in that time. Okay. And but all these things, we didn't know anything about this until we discovered these 50 letters that he wrote to his wife. And this discovery was last year in January 2013, exactly 100 years after he left. And through the letters, a very beautiful story came out. And it was a story of Angelo and Anna, their great love, their baby being born, a big dream that was becoming true, like to have a better life, and many things that, you know, show you how alive a person who died 100 years ago can be for today's people, for his great grandson in this situation, in this case, and for his whole family. So this whole adventure started. We opened the letters, and quite soon came the idea to make a documentary about this. I am a filmmaker and editor. I have already done some documentaries, and I felt that first of all I had to go to Revelstoke, where his grave is, and a grave that nobody has visited for 100 years.
What was that like, going back to the grave?
It's been very well, you know, when there's these crucial moments in life, you are always charged with expectations. And I was with Irene, my girlfriend, and my cousin was there with this girlfriend from Australia, by the way. Mm-hmm. And it was very strong, but it didn't come like at once. It was like a very deep sensation that, you know, stayed with me for many days after that. And then this year I came back to Revelstoke by myself, this time for more research. And you know, it's been completely different. I went there 3 times this year. It's something that connects you with your past, and for me it was very important to go on the grave, because I really felt that a circle was broken 100 years ago, and something had to be done to restore it, reconnect it somehow. Mm-hmm. So I brought with me a little fistful of rocks from my great grandmother's grave in Valstagna, northern Italy. And I brought it on the grave of Angelo, somehow connecting them together again.
Wow.
Because, you know, there's things that are so strong that, you know, time and distance are not enough to separate them. And so that's what I basically did. And now we are making the documentary. We are now just launching this crowdfunding campaign to support the project. We'll be back here in September with a small crew of, we're going to be 5 or 6 people, you know, very documentary crew. And the idea is to, there is like a very strong story, which is the story of Angelo and what his life has been like in 1913, between 1913 and 1915. And it's a story that relates to all the immigrants of that period. It was a rough time for immigrants. And, but, you know, in rough times, people come out with, you know, the strongest feelings. So you see the both sides of this difficult element. And well, that's the main story we're going to tell. But this story we're going to tell this story through our personal journey, my journey with Irene, going through the same places where Angelo has been 100 years ago, following the addresses he left in the letters, and trying to find the elements, the traces that he left. And so many, many very interesting things happened during this journey. One for all is that through the help of James Johnston, a very great person and a house historian who is doing an incredible job in Strathcona, especially in the history of houses, he was able to find the great-grandson of the man that was living with my great-grandfather. And I met this person. His name is Toby Barazzuol. He has a business in Strathcona, North Strathcona, and it was incredible, because in that moment we were really feeling that time didn't matter, because there's things that are more important, you know, mm-hmm. that connect the dots and the people.
Yeah.
And
You were like the recreation, you and he, like the recreation of your great-grandfather.
We somehow...
His great-grandfather.
Yeah.
That's great.
We somehow reproduced the... A situation that likely happened 100 years ago.
So this documentary, too, is really probably quite interesting for people who are interested about the history of Vancouver as well, and immigrant history, and the history of old Vancouver, how it used to be. So you're saying your grandfather lived in Strathcona?
Yeah, okay, we have two addresses. First address was 92 Main Street, which is actually in front of the Cobalt Hotel, which was built in 1911. So at that time, Angelo would see the Cobalt, and it's quite similar to what it looks like now, and he would walk to his job, you know. The other address is in Prior Street, and the house is not there anymore, of course. There's a new house built in the 60s, but this thing that we are doing works like a time machine, you know. What kind of fuel do you put in a time machine? You put objects, you put places, you put people, and the time that the time machine needs, you know, someone to go on it, and it's gonna be me and Irene. And so the idea of the documentary is like following us during this journey in British Columbia today, trying to connect the dots with the past and trying to close the circle with this really strong story coming from the past. Mm-hmm. And yes, I really hope people will, you know, contribute to our project. They can find it on Indiegogo, which is a very huge platform for crowdfunding. And you can go on Indiegogo typing Revelstoke, A Kiss in the Wind. That's the title of the documentary. And if you like the project, please make a contribution. That would be just great for us.
Absolutely. And you also do have a Facebook page for the project?
Yes, we also have a Facebook page. And on the Facebook page, you can find all the updates. On the Indiegogo page, you will find a short teaser video, a 3-minute teaser, which introduces the story, introduces the discovery of the letters, the chair, the search. And people liked it, so the campaign has started. We are very happy, and we really hope we will make it.
So before coming to Vancouver last year, you had never been to Canada before.
No, that was my first time.
Okay.
But yeah, it's incredible because, you know, I never expected it. I always knew that I wanted to go on my great grandfather's grave sooner or later. But it's like one of those things you say, okay, I'll do it next year. Oh, no, I don't have time. I want to go to the seaside. You know, and it was a big discovery. And many incredible things, like for us personally, happened. We really got a lot of support from the local community, from the Istituto Italiano di Cultura, the Italian Cultural Center, many people that helped us during the research. And I think... you know, documentary is also about this. You try to tell a reality that is always moving, and you get affected by this reality somehow. And I really get affectionate to this town, Vancouver, and Kamloops and Revelstoke, all these places, which each one of them represents a single a very important stage for Angelo's path. You know. Every immigrant has more or less the same journey somehow, because he gets to a new place that he doesn't know, with huge expectations, very high hopes. 99.9% of the time, these hopes go trashed. They get trashed. And so the first months are always a shock. Then things happen, things move, and for my great-grandfather, the best moment probably was in Kamloops, where he was able to finally pay all his debts that he had made for paying for the trip, which was very expensive, and he wrote this letter also to his wife saying that now all debts are paid. But also there's a very beautiful letter in Vancouver where he received the letters in which his wife told him that a new baby was born, that his child was born, and she gave him the name Gigetta. Gigetta, which means little Luigi. Luigi was the name of his father.
Okay.
So he was very happy about it. These things that happen, you know, and
Such great stories.
Yeah, yeah.
And yourself, you didn't grow up in the north of Italy. Your family then, from when your great-grandfather left and your grandmother was born?
Okay, well, my grandmother was born in Valstagna. She lived in Veneto, the region, all her life. So I was born in Mestre, which is very close, attached to Venezia. And but then I moved to Rome in 1983, so 30 years ago. Like, I was just 8. And yeah, and so this somehow helped me a lot in reconnecting me to my northern roots. And it's also interesting because, you know, people from the north tend to be sometimes... you know, they tend to conceal their feelings, you know, coming from the mountain. And so when I opened the letters with my aunt Franca, we were not expecting such a great passion between these two young people. You know, Angelo was 25, Anna was 24, and the letters are so romantic, and I would have never expected that.
That's
it was like something that struck me deep within. And, you know, you get connected to someone by reading his letters. And so I hope this will be transferred, this, let's say, element of closeness, this feeling of being close with someone you never met.
Mm-hmm. I think many people have that story in their lives of someone that they haven't known. And, you know, being able to have that concrete evidence of this person's life that you can read with their own handwriting is amazing.
That's incredible, so and also, you know, handwriting shows much more than typewritten letters.
Exactly.
And so you can tell through the letters when he was, you know, shaking because it was, you know, something bad happened, and or he was happy, and you can tell many, many things through the letters. And yes, it's like his personal experience has been a roller coaster, but that was probably like that for all the immigrants. I had the chance to interview Alan Seger, a historian from SFU, who described me pretty much the context of immigration in BC at the time, and you know the. My great-grandfather was quite unlucky because history crossed his path in a tricky way because, you know, 1913 was the beginning of the Big Depression that peaked in 1915. So before that, it was a good moment to go to British Columbia. In that moment, exactly, that was not a good moment. But he didn't know because, you know, communication between immigrants took the time of, you know,
months
much
and
more.
Months. Or a year or something,
And there was not as much as an exchange as there was with England, where you had like 10 times more letters coming in and out, so they were more up to date.
Mm.
Now, anyways, the story of Angelo as this tragic ending, let's say, but our idea is not to tell it in a tragic way. Because I think that something really beautiful happens when you reconnect to the past, and we are doing a trip throughout British Columbia. We are here. We are feeling emotions now, and those emotions that we feel now and the emotions that were felt by these two lovers 100 years ago are, you know, the focus of the story.
I can't wait to see this movie.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of work more, but hopefully it's going to be out in March, April next year, and we're going to be back in September for the shooting, almost 1 month. And
That's great. Well, thank you so much, Nicola, for talking to me today. I'm excited to be able to introduce this project to my listeners and to anyone who is interested in history and life and lovers, and I think it'll be a fantastic project. I wish you the best of luck, and thanks again for coming to Give Him the Boot.
Thank you very much, Linda. It's been a pleasure.
Grazie.
Grazie.
That was the Piccolo Requiem, a small requiem, an offering by Daniele di Bonaventura from his Suite for Bandoneon, which is an absolutely glorious album. And I just thought I would use that as a, I guess, an homage to Nicola Moruzzi's great-grandfather, Angelo Conte, of whom, about whom he is doing this wonderful documentary called Revelstoke, A Kiss in the Wind. So I hope you enjoyed listening to the very well-spoken Nicola Moruzzi. His English is just fabulous, and he really explained well the whole history behind this wonderful project of his. I had such a great time chatting with him and would love to speak with him more. If you're interested in donating some money to his project on Indiegogo, I could say that I would recommend you do so if you feel so inclined. And they're hoping to raise $75,000. They've just started and they've almost got $5,000 right now. So you can just look it up by revelstoke.akissinthewind. And if you did a search for Revelstoke Italian, something like that, you'd find it. His grandfather's name was Angelo Conte. Some very interesting historical evidence about his BC stay. He actually, James Johnston, this wonderful house historian, has written a great little article on it talking about one of the houses in which Nicola's grandfather Angelo lived in. And there's some great old photos too. And there's even a snippet of the Revelstoke News Herald from October 20, 1915, with an article on the death of Angelo Conte saying, "Worker at tunnel killed by rockfall. Angelo Conte, employed at the tunnel, met instantaneous death on Friday when struck by a rock which fell from the roof of the tunnel. The deceased was 28 years of age and leaves a brother, S. Conte. The funeral in charge at R. Hausen and Sons took place from St. Francis Church on Monday. The funeral service was conducted by Reverend Father somebody, I can't read it, of Golden." Wow, amazing to see the actual historical record of this. And Angelo so tragically died in this accident just a week before he was due to go back to Italy to pick up his young wife and his daughter Gigetta and bring them back to live in Canada. There are 50 love letters, or 50 letters, that Angelo had sent to Anna over the 30 months that he'd lived in Canada, and they were passed down three generations of family, unopened and unread by other members of the family for 100 years. I find that amazing. I can't believe that no one opened them. Until Nicola opened them with his aunt. So really great story. I hope to meet up with Nicola and Irene. They'll be back in September. If you're interested in knowing more about their project, go to either their Facebook page, which I've put a link on the Give Them the Boot page, or just to Indiegogo, look up Revelstoke, A Kiss in the Wind. You'll find it all there. There's also lots of other articles floating around the internet about it that have been posted by various people. And Nicola's great-grandfather, was from a little town called Valstagna. It's in the province of Vicenza in the Veneto region. At the time, back in 1911, 1913, there were about 5,000 people living in this village, apparently, as many as 5,300 in 1921. And now there's about 1,900 people, so it's quite a small place. Interestingly enough, though, from a musical perspective, I've discovered that there's quite a well-known Celtic music festival, one of the most important ones in Italy, that happens every August at the Parco delle Grotte di Oliero. It's called the Brintal Celtic Folk Festival. If you're interested in that, I'll put a link on my page as well. So there you go. Everything comes around. What goes around comes around. So this is Give Them the Boot, and it's 2:30 right now. I've got more music for the next half of the program, so stick with me here at CITR 101.9 FM. Don't forget, you can listen in to every show live on CITR on the web, citr.ca, or you can check out our podcasts. So next time you miss something, you can go to citr.ca, click on the podcast link and find your favorite show, or maybe discover a new show and have a little listen to that. I'll be back in just a minute. Torno tra un po'. تزني فيها تزني بس لا تطعمني.
The 37th Annual Vancouver Folk Music Festival comes to Jericho Beach Park July 18th to the 20th. Over 60 acts from Joan Baez, Andrew Bird, Amos Lee, and Mary Lambert to Ozo Motley and Mauritania's Noura Mintsemali. There's a world of amazing music coming to your own backyard.
The Vancouver Folk Music Festival. Info and tickets at thefestival.bc.ca.
Hempology 101 is a student-run organization here to educate the public about the benefits of hemp and cannabis. Fast fact! Hemp is a renewable, sustainable source of food and fiber. Fast fact! Your body contains anandamide, which is part of the same family of substances as THC. To learn more, look us up on Facebook at www.facebook.com/groups/hempology101UBC. Or come to one of our great events. And don't forget, legalization through education.
Legato lo Mastica e sputa, da una parte il miele. Mastica e sputa, dall'altra la cera. Mastica e sputa, prima che venga neve. Luce, luce lontana, più bassa delle stelle, sarà la stessa mano che ti accende e ti spegne. Ho visto Nina volare tra le corde dell'altalena, un giorno la prenderò come fa il vento alla schiena, e se lo sa mio padre dovrò cambiare paese, se mio padre lo sa mi imbarcherò sul mare. Mastica e sputa, da una parte il miele, mastica e sputa, dall'altra la cera. Mastica e sputa, prima che faccia neve. Notte è venuta l'ombra, l'ombra che mi fa il verso, le ho mostrato il coltello e la mia maschera di gelso, e se lo sa mio padre mi metterò in cammino, se mio padre lo sa mi imbarcherò lontano. Mastica e sputa, da una parte la cera, mastica e sputa, dall'altra parte il miele. Mastica e sputa, prima che metta neve. Ho visto Nina volare tra le corde dell'altalena, un giorno la prenderò come fa il vento alla schiena. Luce, luce lontana, che si accende e si spegne, quale sarà la mano che illumina le stelle? Mastica e sputa, prima che venga neve.
Ecco, ci siamo, ci sentite Dali, in questo sfondo infinito siamo le ombre impressioniste, eppure noi qui guidiamo macchine italiane e vino e sigarette abbiamo e amori tanti. Trasmettiamo da una casa d'Argentina, illuminato nella notte che fa la distanza atlantica, la memoria più vicina. vicina e nessuna fotografia ci basterà. Abbiamo l'aria di italiani d'Argentina, ormai certa come il tempo che farà. Con che scarpe attraverseremo queste domeniche mattine, e che voglie tante e che stipendi strani che non tengono mai. Ah, eppure è vita, ma ci sentite da lì, in questi alberghi immensi siamo file di denti al sole. Ma ci piace, sì, ricordarvi in italiano mentre ci dondoliamo, mentre vi trasmettiamo, trasmettiamo da una casa d'Argentina con l'espressione radiofonica di chi sa che la distanza è grande e la memoria cattiva e vicina, e nessun tango mai più ci piacerà. Abbiamo l'aria di italiani d'Argentina, ormai certa come il tempo che farà. E abbiamo piste infinite negli aeroporti d'Argentina. Ah, lasciami la mano che si va. Ai, quanto mare, quanto mare per l'Argentina. La distanza è atlantica, la memoria cattiva è vicina, e nessun tango mai più ci piacerà. Ai, quanto mai. Siamo, ci sentite da lì, ma ci sentite da lì.
Ivano Fossati, un'altra grande voce di Genova, anche lui un amico e un collaboratore di Fabrizio De André, come tanti altri. E, abbiamo sentito quel brano lì, che è anche quello un richiamo agli emigrati che sono andati via dall'Italia in cerca di altro, come il nonno, bisnonno di Nicola Moruzzi. Italiani d'Argentina, un bellissimo brano che viene da un disco dal vivo di Ivano Fossati di tanti anni fa, due decenni fa, direi. Prima di Ivano abbiamo sentito il grande Fabrizio De André Faber dal suo disco Anime Salve, che ha fatto insieme, scritto insieme ad Ivano Fossati. Ho visto Nina volare. La Valsa Pierre è un brano dedicato ad un amico scomparso, e il grande suonatore della Gironda, Pierre Imbert, che ha vissuto qui a Vancouver per tanti anni. Il brano scritto e composto e suonato da Riccardo Tesi, e viene dal disco che lui ha fatto qualche anno fa con una nuova formazione cameristica che si chiama Cameristico. E infine ancora Rocco di Rosa, prima di Riccardo Tesi, un brano strumentale dal suo ultimo disco Sono Aria, che si chiama Sto, e la voce incredibile di Ginevra Di Marco dal disco Canti Richiami d'Amore, 500 catenelle d'oro. Lei non so come riesce a proporre queste vecchie canzoni in un modo così nuovo, e la sua voce e anche il suo sentimento. Allora, siete qui su CTR 101.9 FM, sono Linda Bull e questo è Give 'Em the Boot. Sono la presentatrice di questa trasmissione che vi propone ogni martedì dalle 2 alle 3 un'ora di musica e anche di notizie italiana e italiane. E oggi ho ancora qualche minuto per potervi proporre qualcosa, e tornerò fra un po' con un altro paio di brani.
The TD Vancouver International Jazz Festival, June 20th to July 1st, 1,800 artists from all over the world, 300 concerts, 35 indoor and outdoor venues. Get ready for the best 12 days of music. The TD Vancouver International Jazz Festival, June 20th to July 1st. Go to vanjazzfest.ca for details.
An ocean of sound and echoes abound. It's Saturday night, so chill, and don't go out until your ears have heard a neater, deeper reverb. Bringing you the newest tracks and old favorites of shoegaze, post-rock, trip-hop, dream-pop, and everything in between with a sick echo. Enter into a deeper reverb every Saturday night from 8 to 9 p.m. on CITR.
Thank you.
Maria Pia De Vito, Al tramonto, un brano veramente stupendo. E allora è tutto per oggi, grazie per essere stati con me. Sono Linda Bull, questo è Give Him the Boot, ogni martedì. Ci vediamo la settimana prossima. Un grande ciao a Nicola Moruzzi e Irene Vecchio, che spero stiano ascoltando dall'Italia. È stato un vero piacere intervistare Nicola ieri e avete sentito com'è bello questo progetto Revelstoke, A Kiss in the Wind. Andate a donare un po' di soldi, a contribuire al loro progetto di fare questo documentario sul bisnonno Angelo Conte. Ok, stay tuned. Right now is Radio Freethinker. I'll see you all next week. Ciao for now.